So tonight I want us to ask the question, what have we chosen to highlight in our life? What area of our life have we really drawn our attention to? And also, are we drawing other people's attention to in our life? What is it that we've chosen to highlight? We know what we're supposed to highlight in our life. I don't think if I asked anybody here, you would have any hesitation in saying we need to highlight Jesus Christ. That he needs to be the one that's in the center of our life. But maybe we're a little less clear on how we need to do that. On how we really make Jesus Christ the highlight and the focus of our life. And that's really what I want us to draw out from Jesus Christ's prayer tonight, is how we're able to do that. So Jesus Christ, in verse 1, he prays to his Father. And he begins with a request in verse 1 for the Father to glorify him. He says, Father, the hour has come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. So he says, in this hour, as he's approaching his death, and we've talked about this before, all that's going on, and what's about to take place. All right, so as he's approaching this, he says, Father, I want to continue to glorify you, so you glorify me. And he's asking that God would glorify him through his death and resurrection. All right, so that he's asking for God the Father to make sure people would understand that he is the Messiah through all of this. But what's his purpose in that? Look in verse 2. He says, here's his reasoning. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, and he's referring to himself there as him, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. So he says, this is why, Jesus said, this is why I want the Father to glorify me, so that I can give eternal life to people. What is this eternal life? That they might know God. And you see how it circles right back around to glorifying God the Father. Jesus Christ says, here's why I want to be glorified, so that I can more fully glorify my Heavenly Father through all the people that will get saved. And that's his reasoning in this, even as he asks to be glorified. But look in verse 4. This was our phrase that we mentioned at the beginning. I have glorified thee on earth. I've glorified thee on earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And he wanted to keep glorifying God. He wanted that to continue. He wanted to keep highlighting God the Father. And so here are three ways that Jesus glorified the Father while on earth. And I think as we look at the prayer that Jesus Christ prayed, not only was he praying to his Father, but he was praying with his disciples listening. And I think he understood that. And I think he meant for the disciples to learn something even as he prayed, even as he spoke to his Heavenly Father. And what I want us to understand tonight is how we can highlight Jesus Christ in our life. But I don't want us to just walk away tonight with another list of things to do. I don't want it to be, here's three things that you have to go out and do in your life. I want it to be, here are three things that we need to believe in our life. Three ways that we need to think about God, because that's really where it starts. Highlighting Jesus Christ starts in our heart. It's not just about the actions, though those play a big part in that. It starts right in our heart. What does it say in Proverbs? Keep thy heart with all diligence. Why? For out of it are the issues or the things that go forth in life. Right? So that's what we're going to try and do. We're going to ask the Lord to show us how we can highlight Jesus Christ, not just in what we do, but in who we are in our hearts, so that we can fully and completely highlight Jesus Christ. So three ways that Jesus Christ highlighted his Father. Number one, in verse 4, he says, I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. I have finished the work. Now, on the timeline of his life, we know that there's still some things that have to come, some major things that have to take place. But it's like in Jesus Christ's eternal eyesight, in his eternal viewpoint, these were already accomplished. Like they were already finished. And now he's looking at them, and he says, I have finished the work. And there's a specific thing he says in verse 4. He says, I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Which thou gavest me to do. And I want us to really focus in on that tonight. That these are things that Jesus said, the Father gave me to do. Has your boss ever been overridden at work? It's like your boss says, all right, here's what we're going to do. Here's how we're going to do it. And then his boss comes along, or the owner of the company, or someone comes along and says, no, here's how we're going to do it. And what do? Well, you follow the highest authority, right? You go, well, you're my authority, but he's your authority. So I'm going to go with the highest authority who has given me that command. And hopefully your boss goes along with that too and doesn't make conflict and all of that. The highest authority, that's the one that you follow. Now, Jesus Christ experienced this sort of conflict between authorities when he was on earth. If we think about one particular instance, right, of healing on the Sabbath day, right, one type, it occurred several times. There was conflict between these authorities. We know what the Pharisees, the religious authorities, said. They said, no, you don't heal on the Sabbath day. You don't do that. But we also know the will of God the Father for Jesus Christ was to heal on the Sabbath day. We also know what Jesus Christ did, don't we? He made the choice to obey the highest authority. The highest authority. And I think in that, and in his prayer, we see a priority that was there in Jesus Christ's heart. And I'm going to call it the priority of rank. He knew who was the highest ranking authority in his life. And he knew that in his heart, that he was there to obey God the Father. He was there to finish the work that God had given him to do. And even when he ran into these other authorities, there was something settled in the heart of Jesus Christ that said there is a priority of rank. And if someone of a lower rank tries to get me to do something else that contradicts what the highest authority has given to me, I will follow that highest authority. That was there in his life. He prioritized the Father's rank and authority. And in Luke chapter 6 and verse 46, Jesus Christ really called out the people around him. And he said, why call ye me Lord, Lord? And what does he say? And do not the things which I say. What was he saying? He was saying, listen, you're very good at saying the right things, right? But there's not a real priority of rank in your heart. Because what's issuing out from your heart is not doing the things that I say. Right? It was rebellion and disobedience that really came forth from their heart. And Jesus Christ could look at all of us and say tonight, what's the priority of your heart? Not what do your lips say, but what do your actions say about the priority of rank that lies within your heart? And we need to settle this tonight, that Jesus Christ is the authority, that he's the one we're going to obey. And then when we have earthly authority that may contradict that, we say, I have the highest authority. And understand, when your authority contradicts God's authority, you have to have that settled in your heart, that your flesh isn't your authority, but Jesus Christ is. That priority is there, because that's what's going to really highlight Jesus Christ, is when you've made him that priority, when he has the priority of rank in your life. So number one, he finished the Father's work. The second thing I want us to see tonight is that he manifested the Father's the Father's name. Look at verse 6. So Jesus said, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. So he said he manifested the Father's name. The word manifest means to reveal or bring to light. And that goes right along with what we're talking about, this highlighting. And he said, I've manifested, or I've brought to light, I've highlighted the Father's name. Now, when he's talking about the Father's name, it's not just the name, but it's really all of who God the Father was. It was his character, his attributes, all of that which is represented by the name of God the Father. Right? That was his purpose, to highlight God the Father. And he did that by manifesting the Father's name. And we know this. We've seen this in the book of John over and over. He would point them to the Father over and over. And I want us to turn back to John chapter 14, if you'll go there with me. John chapter 14 and verse 8. We've gone over this already before, but in John chapter 14 and verse 8, Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? And I want us to look at this next part. He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Jesus said, he that has seen me has seen the Father. And right in there, we see this priority, right? And I'm calling it the priority of reputation. that he said, there is a reputation that I have made a priority in my life, and that is the reputation of God the Father. And it's interesting that Jesus said, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And that's really an all-inclusive statement, right? He that hath seen me, all of me, any part of me. It's not like Jesus said, listen, if you saw my church attendance record, then you'd be able to see the Father. Or if you, you know, ignore all the rest of my life, but look at, you know, just the miracles. Or we could say tonight, you know, if you just saw my tithing record, ignore everything else. But if you saw my tithing record, then you'd see the Father. You know, or if you just ignored some of the things I said, but look at, you know, what I post on social media, then you'd see the Father. Jesus doesn't make any, he doesn't divide this at all. He says, he that hath seen me. He didn't say part of me or when I'm in public. He said, who hath seen me? And he was talking to the disciples that were with him all the time. And that's pretty convicting, isn't it? That we need to be able to see, to say, anybody who sees any part of us can see Jesus Christ through that. And that's because we have in our heart a priority of reputation. That we say it's really about the reputation of God that I am showing those around me. And the reputation of God the Father rested in the hands of Jesus Christ. And that was the way God had made it. And right now, the reputation of Jesus Christ, to a great extent, rests in our hands as Christians. I said to a great extent because people can read the Bible for themselves and they can find God the Father. But it's true what everybody says. We might be the only Bible that some people read. And if that's the case, then God's reputation and the reputation of Jesus Christ rests upon us. We are his reputation. We are Christians. And as a representative of Jesus Christ, our priority goes to the reputation of the one that we are representing. And in the United States, we have 189 ambassador positions. And I just picked one kind of at random. It's our ambassador to Mexico is a man named Christopher Lando. I don't even know if I'm pronouncing that right. Christopher Lando, right? He's our ambassador to Mexico. Now, I assume that he's like all the rest of us and he enjoys pajamas, right? He enjoys wearing comfortable clothing, right? He would just prefer to be comfortable like all of us prefer. But I think we also understand that when he's representing our country and when he's in that, you know, the embassy down in Mexico City, or when he's doing those sort of functions as a representative, as our ambassador, that he's not doing it in his pajamas, right? And maybe he goes, I don't really care what people think about me. We would look at him and say, it's not really about you at this point. It's about our country, that you are representing our country. And it's our country's reputation that takes priority over your reputation. And, you know, as Christians, we could walk around and say, you know, I don't care what people think about me. I don't care what they say about me. I don't care if they talk bad about me. And to some degree, that's okay. But understand, it's not about your reputation, is it? It's not about my reputation. It's about the fact that we are upholding God's reputation. And there needs to be that priority in our hearts. Do we say, it's not about my reputation. It's about the reputation of Jesus Christ. And so it's not about what I may feel comfortable with. It's about what upholds the reputation of Jesus Christ because I am his representative. And sometimes there's things that happen that I see and that bother me. For example, there was, I saw recently that there was one Christian celebrity, I'm not going to mention who, Christian celebrity who it came out that long time ago, he had an affair, and now he had a child from this relationship, and it was after he was saved and after he was married, and it came out. And that bothered me, more than hearing about some worldly celebrity that had an affair and had a child from that. And you know why it bothers us more is because we understand it's not just his reputation as a Christian celebrity. I'm not questioning his salvation. We understand that it's also the reputation of Jesus Christ that has been affected by his actions. And we can look at him and point fingers, but every time we do that, we also need to point fingers at ourselves and say, I have this same responsibility to uphold the reputation of Jesus Christ. And so we need to make it that priority in our hearts, not just in our actions and in our words, but in our hearts. We say, I am more dedicated to the reputation of Jesus Christ than I am to my own. So Jesus Christ, he manifested the Father's name. He finished the Father's work. Priority of rank, the priority of reputation. One more tonight. And I want us to see in verses 7 and 8, back in John chapter 17. Verse 7, Jesus prayed this, Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. So number 3, he credited the Father. He credited the Father. So in verse 8, he's talking about, he expands really on verse 7. Verse 7, he says, everybody has known that all that I have, I've gotten from my Father. And he expands on that in verse 8 when he talks about the words that he has received. He got them from the Father. And so he takes what he has done and what he has said, and he gives God the Father all the credit for that. He doesn't take any of the credit for it. And Jesus was highlighting his Father as the source of all that he had said. And we can look back and find this in a lot of different places in the book of John. But what I want to bring out tonight is this priority that he had. And it's the priority of responsibility. He was saying the Father is responsible for all that I've done and all that I've said. He was making sure that they understood that. And he was telling his Father that they had understood that. When you watch the credits for any movie, there's a general pattern that they'll follow. The first is that they will credit the distribution company and the production company. So it'll say something like, such and such company presents a such and such company film. Right? And that's the distribution company and the production company. Because those two companies are responsible for providing the money for this movie and the talent behind it and all the everything they need to produce this movie. And so because of all they've done to produce all of this and all they've put into making this movie, they get top billing and they get credited first and right at the beginning of that movie. And when we think about Jesus Christ and his relationship to us, we could say he is the one who has distributed and produced everything in our life. And that's why he needs to have this priority of responsibility, where it's not just that we always say, praise the Lord. And that's a good thing to say, right? We should be saying that. But it's got to be more than just the words that we say. It's got to be something in our heart where we highlight Jesus Christ and that we have this deep-seated belief that all that we are and everything we are, we owe to God. That has to be the belief that we have deep down in our hearts. And Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 10. He said, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. By the grace of God, he said, I am what I am. And maybe tonight there's a part of you that still says, you know what? I am who I am because of what I've done. You say, you know what? I make more money work because I work harder than everybody else. You know what? I have the things that I have in life because I saved up for those. And I really struggled to get where I'm at in life. Or we say, you know what, I'm healthy because I eat right, because I make good health choices, or I have good kids because I raised my kids right. And in all of those statements and in a bunch of others that many times we make, there's something that's crept in there. And that is we're taking responsibility and we're taking credit for where we've gotten ourselves and all that we have in our life. And that can't have any part of our heart and our thinking. It has to be every single time in the depths of our heart, we say with complete assurance, I am who I am by the grace of God and nothing else. All I've done is get in the way. All I've done is withhold things and put up barriers for the work of God. Everything in my life is done by the grace of God. And we have to have that. And every time our flesh tries to claim credit, we've got to quote that verse to it and quote that verse to ourselves and say, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And we can't let ourselves get away with these subtle ways of thinking of taking credit for anything good in our life. The priority of responsibility. Jesus Christ knew that the Father merited honor and recognition and fame because he was responsible for what Jesus Christ did and what Jesus Christ said. So Jesus Christ, he finished the Father's work, he manifested his name, and he credited the Father. And so Jesus Christ, near the end of his time on earth, he as he prayed to his Father and as the disciples listened, he made that statement. And he said, I have glorified the Father on earth. You know, I think that's what all of us want to be able to say. At this moment, and as we, you know, at the end of our life, I think that would be a great thing for us to be able to say. So you know what? I've highlighted Jesus Christ with my life. When people saw me, they saw Jesus Christ. They saw him in my life. And I want us to go back to the question that I asked at the beginning, which was, what are you highlighting in your life? What is it that you're choosing to emphasize to yourself and through that to other people? What is it that you've put your attention on? Maybe this past week, maybe this past month, or even this year. What is it that's really been taking your focus, and that you've said, I'm gonna pour a lot of time into this. I'm gonna pour energy into this. I'm gonna make this my focus, because that needs to be Jesus Christ in our life. That needs to be, he needs to be the one. And we have that paintbrush that we can use. And many times it's very easy, and there's that temptation to paint Jesus Christ in muted colors in our life. Yes, he's still there. Yes, he's part of our life. But it's like he's been put back into the shadows. And it's harder for us to see him in our life. It's harder for other people to see him in our life. And there's something else that we've painted in bright colors that we've really emphasized. And tonight, we need to make sure that we get back to highlighting Jesus Christ, that he's first and foremost. And again, it starts in our heart. And it starts by settling whose authority comes first, your authority or Jesus Christ, that priority of rank. It starts by viewing yourself as his representative and understanding that his reputation is more important than yours. The priority of reputation, then it starts by realizing that you owe everything to his grace. And you know, we could sum it all up in two words. Jesus first. That Jesus Christ comes first. And that we put Jesus Christ first in our heart and in our life. I know the kindergartners, they love to be first in line, right? That's kind of their thing. And every week, Mrs. Meter would switch it up and a new one would get to be line leader. But you know, I don't know what it is, but they like to be first in line. As we get older, we go, you know, you're not going to get there any faster. We look at people, you know, race by you on the highway, and then you pull up to them at the next light and you go, hey, what'd that get you, right? And we kind of learned, but kindergartners, man, they like to be that. They like to cut in line and just be ahead of that next person. And it's easy as Christians for us to do that with the Lord and say, you know what, I'm just for this time, I'm going to put myself in front of the Lord. I'm going to put myself before Jesus Christ. I'm going to highlight something that I want in my life instead of Jesus Christ. And it just comes back to those two simple words, Jesus first. I'm going to put Jesus Christ first in my heart. He's going to be that the ranking authority in my life. I'm going to recognize his reputation, and I'm going to understand that he's responsible for all that I've had. And in that, we can highlight Jesus Christ. And as we close, we're going to ask the Lord to help us with this. Help us to take everything else in our life and put that back in the shadows. And say, I'm going to put Jesus Christ first in my heart. Let's close with prayer.